I have a question for you. I don't know if this will be open material or if it's just a general question for you. So we mentioned already, and this potentially could be like how we where we start. But we have 47 games this point, if you will, in our journey. And Deco and I were thinking about well, how many do we want to do next round? And we landed on a little bit of a smaller number because I think we did 20. We nominated 10 each last round, right? And then we added a couple. Turns out, right, which is why we landed on 47. So we added two. So we actually covered 22 games last season, and we decided to trim that number just a little bit. And Deco was suggesting maybe we do 10, and I was like, or I think you said 12, maybe. And I was like, I mean, 13 does kind of put us at an even 60, which is kind of cool. So the idea being, I guess, that at this stage we were thinking of nominating a smaller number this round. And I had the idea, hey, what if we toss some of our nominee games to the listeners? And we got a significant, I'll say,
Yes.
list
Oh boy.
and volume of games that would be interesting to hear us talk about, which I was very excited to see. I mean, just for the record, thank you to everybody who put out for that, because y'all came through and I mean, to be honest, put out a lot of games where I was like, I have no idea what this is, but somebody was very excited to share about it, and I was like, damn, like the amount of passion that comes out of some games sometimes is just really cool to see. And how else would I have ever heard of any of these older things, right? So that was pretty cool. So, and then Decoy and I agreed to nominate three of those 13 just to the listener, which is kind of exciting. So my question, Decoy, was how do we want to reveal those? Do we want to like draft them? Do we want to reveal them by just releasing the episode and not telling anybody which ones we did? Like, what are you thinking?
I thought it would be nicer to reveal them. So
Okay.
the way I considered and thought about how this episode would go
Yeah.
was since we had a conversation, I was like, okay, we do five each and then we pick three community games, puts it at even 60. So my perspective was, how do I cause you the most amount of pain possible?
I
That's how I did that.
love
So if I'm trying to hurt you the most that I can possibly hurt you, that means do like the community first,
Right.
so that's out there,
So
and
the
then can't
block.
change it.
Right. Yep.
Maybe do like honorable mentions, things that really hurt to cut, because I have a few.
Okay.
Five games for each of us is not a lot. And
No, it's tough. It's been really
like
tough.
my original list was 20 games, and there's like a few of these that I really couldn't
Nice.
justify for various reasons.
Okay.
And then after that, we just go back and forth. You starting, because you have six. And
Right.
then you better hope that I pick one of the games in the third round.
Yep.
It'll give you hope all the way to the very end. About board games, and today is the kind of sort of maybe probably hopefully potentially the last episode of season two. We made
Hey.
it. This is the draft selection episode where we talk about the games we're going to be covering for season three. I'm Decoy, and today my job is to torture Mark. It's gonna be great. I love it. I love my job. How you doing, Mark? Are you ready for this? Are you ready to get hurt a little bit?
Howdy. Yes, the masochistic nature of me is very excited to just feel pain all episode long. Hey there. Hello. Howdy. Well, glad to be here. And as I mentioned, very excited. This is a fun energy we've got, like in terms of looking forward into the future like this. So very pleased.
Yeah, in case anybody doesn't know, as I understand it, Squid has six games he really wants to cover. So we decided collectively to do 13 games for season two. We threw three to the community, and we each, me and Squid, picked five each. And he has six. So I'm really excited to kick one off his list. And we're going to do that in the most logical way possible for me to do that.
Yes.
I'm so excited. So I thought maybe a good place to start is to go over some of the honorable mentions that got cut from your list. Since we only had five games, last season we had a lot more than that. And I had to make some painful cuts. So is there anything here that you did not make your cut of the 5 or 6 games that you wanted to cover season 3 that you wanted to give a quick shout out to?
There is, yeah. I have a few like that that I think I'll shout out. And I also had an idea, which may or may not be anything, and you may or may not have done the same thing yourself, but I also kind of had like a few question mark games and guesses that I thought you might nominate that I sort of like put on my list to try and help me pick mine, you know? So I like, maybe there's room for that at some point to today too. Maybe we do that at the end, or maybe we do that here off the top, or maybe probably at the end. So when we both nominate ours, I can be like, oh, what about this one? And I can like kind of ask you, you know, if this was one you were thinking about.
Sure.
But yeah, so there are, let's see, if I was actually going to count, I mean, as Decoy said, he had 20 games, he whittled it down to 5. I didn't even actually count, but I have 25 that I whittled down into 6. yeah, so a few honorable mentions for myself here. I'll start with the OG Dune board game, the 1986 version.
Oh, that didn't make it. I was going to guess that.
Yeah, it didn't make it. It was the 7th, and I cut it off at the end. Two reasons, darn. And we might add it back. We do have the opportunity at the end of the day here to say JK, but that game, I'm really excited to play, and I found it discounted and bought it, and I have it. But what happened when I was whittling it down, part of me was like, how am I going to actually learn and play this game? And if you remember, when we tried to set up and play, we had, I think, 3 or 4 weekends in a row lined up and ended up with 4 maybe, and then ended up not playing. So my thinking was, if it's that hard to get a game of this game when there's no pressure, then you and I might end up just playing 2-player and kind of two-handing 2 factions or something, and that would be really bad. Right. And I was like, I don't want that to be how we cover that game. So I decided to cut it just for that. I do think I want to eventually talk about it, but I kind of want to play it passively and get a few games in before I put it on the list to talk about, kind of thing.
Sure, sounds fine to me. I do also want to play it. Yeah. It's just
same.
Everybody says you need 6 players.
I know, right? Like 6 players. That's crazy.
And then some people are like, I could play it 4. 4 is okay. And then someone else is like, 4 sucks. Everything sucks except for 6.
It's wild.
It's very difficult to get that many people together to play a game that's that old, even if it's good.
Honestly, just in general, I mean, getting 4 people together to play Root, a game we all love, is proving more difficult than it should, right? So,
definitely. Yeah.
so that one, I guess I could nominate or talk about 3 that didn't make the cut. Another one is called Beer and Bread, which is one that is like a lovely little 2-player game that I learned about recently and got so that my dad and I could play while he's recovering from a surgery. And it's good. It's fun. It's simple. It's exclusively 2-player. And I was like, this is kind of cute. Like, this would be a sweet little game. What I was thinking about with the eventual 6 I picked was like, why am I picking this one over something else? And this one almost made the cut because it's exclusively 2-players. And I was like, man, the only games I think on our list so far that are exclusively 2-players are Perfect Information games. And this one is not. So I was like, oh, and Twilight Struggle, which is like a deep strategy, right? So I was like, I kind of want to see what a 2-player game that's exclusively 2-players would look like that's not of that genre or of that ilk, if you want to use that word. But as Decoy said, I could not whittle it down to 5, even though, so that one trimmed. I might add it back in though, because I already have it and I've already played it. But yeah, that's a good one. And one that I was, you know, it was sad to see it go. And then I'd say my last one is one that I've talked about a little bit prior, and that one's Barcelona. No, excuse me. Barcelona didn't make it either. Barrage, excuse me. I had those next to each other.
Oh, yeah,
Barrage. That Euro, yeah, I really like it. And I remember saying back when I was learning how to play it, it might be my favorite Euro at that stage. But I haven't really been interested in continuing to play it just because there's so many other things I want to play, and I have a different Euro on here that I'm more excited about, so that one also got the axe. But yeah, I do really like it though, so I think it is one I'll eventually talk about. I just didn't have room for it, so
life is hard choices. I guess I can also talk about 3 of them.
Yeah,
my biggest regret on this entire list, Station Fall.
Oh no, interesting.
And I know you're not putting it in.
I did not.
Yeah, this is a heavy sandboxy social deduction-ish kind of game. Mm-hmm. In rolls, spaceships fall into Earth, almost no RNG, which is really interesting.
It is.
Given that, like, when you're playing it, it's like total madness. The game feels like madness. We even have a group to play it, so that's not a problem. Like,
which
I
is
can pay
true.
for it and we can get it. Noisemaker taught most of us, and he describes it as like playing an episode of Star Trek, but
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, every player thinks they're in a different episode of Star Trek.
That's
what it feels like.
That's
an incredible
cool.
way to describe a game.
Yeah.
Everybody has a it totally fits. Everyone has a different goal. Some
right.
of them are the same goals, so you and the player next to you might want to do the same thing. But most of the time, you're working against each other, which leads to a ton of entanglement, a ton of
right.
player interaction. And I hate myself for not including it.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, we could always go 6 and 5
no.
and 3 and make it 15,
not,
right?
Not,
like,
no, I'm not giving you the easy way out.
All right, fine.
Also not included, I didn't put Big Gloomhaven on here.
Oh, that's one where I put on here that you probably did and put a question mark as like, he probably put Gloomhaven on here. That's surprising.
Yeah, I thought I was going to too. But when I was making this list, I decided that, and for anyone who doesn't know, we play Jaws the Lion. We had a good time with Jaws. Jaws mm-hmm. is a really good game. I don't really want to play Gloomhaven right now.
And oh.
I feel like for the Haven games, I'm out on the Haven games for right at this moment. I don't
right.
have any interest in playing them. Feel like a chore, I think.
Yeah.
It's a big commitment.
It's huge.
And that says something about the game, too. But, yeah, I don't think I want to do it right now. I still
Fair.
Want to play more of it. I want to reach the end of the campaign.
Right.
Or do Frosthaven or something, but probably not right now.
Okay.
And then third, and this is because
Uh-oh.
This is a game that kind of fits into, like, another game that I did put on the list, Skull.
Oh, and shit. That's another one I put that I thought you would pick. Damn, you've thrown me off.
Yeah,
oh, shit.
I thought I was going to pick Skull 2, and I went in a different direction because it is very similar to a different game that I just said that. But yeah, I love Skull. Skull's great. It's the simplest, funnest, bluffing, whatever game.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really fast, really, really fun. And it might dethrone the best version of that style of game that we have.
Ooh.
But I put something on here that might be better than Skull. So,
oh, shit. That's bold.
That also might be a huge regret for me because I love Skull. Skull's a great game. I have it. I bought it.
That's saying something.
Other games on the list.
That,
yeah.
Because you've gone on record before saying you don't own that many games. So
no,
like
I don't
bought
own
that
many
one.
Games.
Right. That's crazy.
I own Fort and Cats and Dogs. I have Skull. I have Coup.
Mm-hmm.
And
Trove Pursuit. And...
Yeah, Trivial Pursuit. I also have...
Like
this game that got given to me, Photosynthesis, game about trees.
Oh.
Interesting, lightweight,
that sounds
but
cool.
like big. It's
yeah.
good. Like it's like it's a fun casual game. And like probably one or two others that I'm not thinking of. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
I don't own that many games, but I own Skull.
Cool.
But yeah, those are my three biggest regrets, and I'm gonna
Damn.
Look back on this list and say I should have expanded it, but I didn't want to give in to not hurting you. So
yeah.
Here we are.
Here we are indeed. So speaking of being here, do we want to begin the dance perhaps with our listener requested games maybe? Or do you want to go those? You said you want to do those first, right? Those are the
yeah,
first
Yeah, I
want
to do those first. Just so we have it on record and you can't change your mind later.
Okay. I have a suggestion.
Because
sure. I only have ever heard of and played one of the three. And I have a feeling you've played maybe all three. So how about I reveal
oh, yeah.
the one that I know already, and then you can talk
oh,
about
yeah,
the
sure.
other two?
Sure.
Is that okay?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. As we mentioned before, our listeners were requested to toss in, hey, like what games do you think would fill our list in a little bit better? Or do you think that you'd like us to hear talk about or what have you? And it was like, I mean, I sent Decoy the list and he was like, whoa. It was, I think like 30 maybe or something like that games total that were like brought up that were mentioned. And what we did was we basically put, I sent him a message like, hey, like let's, color code ones that we're interested in. And if any overlap, then, since we're both interested in it, that's an easy way to pick kind of which three, because there's so many, right? And we actually, interestingly, were able to find three that we could agree on. And as I mentioned, I've only ever heard of, well, I've heard of two of the three, but I've only ever played one of the three. And that one is the Quacks of Quedlinburg.
Fantastic, because I haven't
yeah.
actually played that. I've played
yes.
And I haven't played Quacks.
Perfect, yeah. I learned that one a bit ago. It's a lovely little bag builder. You could probably make the case that it is, part of what helped make Wonderlands War if you wanted to, but although I haven't looked into when it came out and how many other bag builders exist. But if you know Wonderlands War, it's that game, except instead of also doing the battling and the combat and the gambling and stuff, you're just pulling out of the bag and choosing when to stop and trying to make the, you know, the biggest brew or biggest potion to score big points or whatever. It's very nice, very fun, very easy to teach and learn. I mean, I picked it up and felt like I had a good understanding of it after the first game, right? So it's a lovely little light one that I think is worth mentioning. And that's part of, I think, what I wanted to mention at the top of my first nominee, which I can save till then if you'd like. But I'm really interested in like playing things that have similar mechanics to things we've already played, so we can start comparing some of the games with like terms a little bit, you know? And this one has that with Wonderlands War, which is a pretty high listeners will remember. So, you know, we can kind of see if the one before is worth, you know, a high place with just that, as opposed to adding the other components or whatever. So that's a good one.
Yeah, for sure.
Apt
comparison to Wonderlands War, because in every teach of Wonderlands War I've ever had with other players or with me, the first question, usually Francis asks, have you ever played Quacks? And that's the first thing, because then he doesn't have to explain that whole one third of the game system. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm excited to play that one.
It's good.
It should be kind of like cotton candy, maybe. Maybe that's too harsh. I don't know how much staying power it has, but I'm very excited to play it.
Yeah, same. I don't know how much staying power it has either, but I am excited to like explore it a little bit deeper than just the one game, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so first pick, we pick Quacks. Second pick, Ticket to Ride.
Hey.
Are you doing this right? Ticket to Ride was there?
Yep, okay. That's one of them. Yep. All right, as far as I know.
Ticket to Ride. This happens to be by Alan Moore, who's one of the OG board game designers. This is one of his last listed games, just because he's been around for so long. And he's worked with publishing companies and such for a while. Classic hand management game. So push your luck, connect locations on a map. The map is of, in the first game anyway, Ticket to Ride. It's based in the United States. So you would be North America, because Canada's in there too.
Okay.
So it's a push your luck game. You connect locations on the map, mostly in the United States, some in Canada. And then you place down train tiles to connect wherever to wherever. Los Angeles to San Francisco, Miami to New York City. This is from all the way back in 2005, and it's just got tons of sequels. You can find Ticket to Ride wherever you live, like Ticket to Ride Asia, Ticket to Ride Europe, Ticket to Ride Africa.
That's pretty sweet.
It even has like a legacy game that I've heard a few people talking about and criticizing. It's hilarious. Like, why would you make a legacy? Like, there's legacy everything now, right? Well, there's legacy Ticket to Ride, which
that's so funny.
I know very little about other than people are laughing at it. You haven't played this.
I have not. Yeah.
We absolutely do need to talk about it, because this game's been around nearly 20 years and is the type of game you can pull out and play with your parents.
Yeah, I was about to say, I see it everywhere. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
like,
you can go into,
you know,
this passes the Target Walmart test. You can walk in there and find four different versions of Ticket to Ride. I like this game a lot. I've always liked this game. This predates my introduction into heavier board games. And it's just one of the games that we just played. Like, the options were something like Ticket to Ride. What is the drinking game?
Red Dragon Inn?
Yeah, Red Dragon Inn. So the guy who had Red Dragon Inn also had Ticket to Ride, and we just chose to play Red Dragon Inn. So it's around that time period that I got it.
Cool.
Also, I low-key got into playing this competitively, kind of like I did Tokaido, for like a brief couple of weeks. So
that's pretty huge. Yeah.
I think it's the same level of like, there's not that much you can control in Tokaido, but it's few enough things that you can almost always make exact determination of what is correct. And I think Ticket to Ride is the same. You can kind of figure it out, but it's a little bit deeper than Tokaido. And you can play it competitively if you want to, like I did on BGA. So there's that. Regardless, good on the community for suggesting it. Great game. Excited to talk about it. All right, so we got Quacks, we got Ticket to Ride, and then we also selected The Resistance.
Yeah.
Avalon. Interesting. So this is by Don Eskright. We might talk about Avalon in addition to the original Resistance, because technically Avalon is an expansion or a sequel game. I'm not exactly sure which, but that is it's not the first game in the line of Resistance games. To a lesser degree, it's like Ticket to Ride, where there's like a dozen different, half a dozen different Resistance games. Avalon's like the
Right.
second one, but it is arguably more popular than the first one. The main difference is that Avalon is like Knights of the Round Table, Arthurian legend themed, and the
Okay.
Resistance original is just kind of like basic, not very much seeming. I think the original game is modern, and in this game, you basically are agents working. You're split up into two teams, and it's social deduction. Hidden role, hidden information. At the beginning, you find out if you're a good guy or a bad guy. And then you collectively have to figure out either who the bad guys are or whether you complete three missions or not. And that's
Okay.
essentially it. The game goes really fast. The first player just says, I'm going to nominate these three people for the team. If they're all good, they'll vote for the mission to succeed. And everyone just like passes a hidden information card that says whether the mission succeeds or fails. Just two cards, succeed or fail. If
Yeah.
succeed, you're one mission down, closer to winning. And if not, one of the people who voted and was on that team is full of shit and is evil. So it's your job to figure out like who the hidden bad people are. It scratches the like bluffing and lying itch for me. So it's like a little bit poker, it's a little bit hidden information and social deduction, and it goes really
Yeah.
fast. So yeah, it's simple, and you can play it many times in one session. And you can kind of develop even within a short amount of time a table meta, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So
Okay.
I'm also excited for that one, which is why I picked it. And we should also talk about it because this is also like on the whole an older game. I think this was 2009, 2010, 11, something
Yeah,
around there.
yeah.
So
So
it's been around for
yeah.
a long time.
So we all three of these notably are all relatively older, and like now they're not chess old, they're not Go old, right? They're not World Game of Ur old, but I mean they're all sort of around the Catan or like, you know, maybe Dominion, like in that range of Catan and Dominion kind of thing, like the early
Yeah.
turn of the century, which is, you know, kind of when the board game stuff started to bloom and blossom, maybe we could say. So that's pretty cool.
These are foundational games for a lot of people. All right, so those are going to be our three games, community choice games, Quacks, Ticket to Ride, and the Resistance.
Oh
So we're
yeah.
going to have a good time with those.
Oh yeah. I'm excited. Those are going to be three good ones. And it's also going to be, you know, like interestingly, I had Ticket to Ride as one you might suggest before we even did that. And then
Yeah, that was on
Quack.
my original list. Yeah.
Yeah, and I had didn't have Quacks on my short list, but since I had played it and since Wonderland's War was just ranked what, eighth is what we just ranked it last week or 2 weeks ago. Or you know, whenever this ends up releasing, which I think it'll be within the same order. You know, I was like, okay, well, I mean, Quacks might be worth talking about. Like, I was thinking about it since we ranked Wonderlands War so high, and then the Resistance I'd never heard of. So I was like, okay, this is a good, you know, it's a good little set. That brings me, I think, to the interesting meat of today, which is my inability to whittle down to five and Decoy's relative ease of whittling down to five for himself that gets us to our total of 13 games for this next season. And I'm going to start since I have six total. And my first nominee is one that I think you already know. I want to get it out of the way. And that one is called Apiary.
Yes.
Yeah, Apiary is a space themed game. It's a you're bees and you're in space. And I don't want to say too much because, you know, this isn't the episode, right? But I have played it a couple times and taught it. And I really, really like it. It's a Stonemaier game as well, which is cool because that's a company that I have historically liked the games that they've made. Although notably Scythe was made by them, right? But yeah, it's fantastic. I think it's gonna be one that Decoy also that you also like, despite your typically not as interested in Euros on average like style. Like not saying you don't like them because you like brass, right? But I don't think Euros are necessarily like your go-to primary game genre, although you know you probably like them more than a lot of people that we talk to. But since it's a space theme and since it's kind of cool in terms of like the bees up there or whatever, I was like, okay, well, he'll at least try it because I remember you saying, I'll try anything that's space theme. So that way
You're not wrong.
it won't be painful for you to be like, ugh, like I think you'll like the genre at worst. But I do think potentially that it could be one that climbs pretty high. I mean, I'm gonna do maybe like a quick little shot in the dark here and maybe say that it has the potential to crack the top 10. And that's saying something now that we have 47 games, right? So yeah, it's fun. It's really cool.
Yeah, I'm glad. I should have known. I should have known you'd put Apiary. I completely forgot about it, but yeah,
Oh,
that totally
nice.
tracks. Yeah. All
Heck
right.
yeah. One down.
So I, in our last episode, threw out there that I was going to nominate John Company,
Ayo, I knew
and
it. That was
that's my
one I
first
had.
pick. Yeah.
Nice.
So this is by Whirligig Games. You might know Cole Whirly, made heavily involved with Root, all things Root. His own company. Makes and publishes, I believe, John Company, second edition. And this one's a doozy. It's
Oh, yeah.
set in the 18th, 19th centuries. You play as some people seeking to enrich themselves via the British East India Company. Heavy.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
way too much to, as you said, talk about this here. We'll save it for the episode. But
Right.
essentially, it's a lot of negotiation, politics, backstabbing, and also it's got a heavy historical tilt and
It
doesn't
does.
pull punches when it talks about British and Indian history. That is what the game is. It's part, like, I don't want to call it an art piece because it's a game, but it's really designed to make you think. Hits like a ton of bricks. It also has the ignominy of being the highest weight of any game that we're going to cover on this
was about
podcast
to
so
say,
far.
yep.
I'll just go out, go ahead and say it. There's no way that anything on our list that we're going to be talking about for the rest of this episode is heavier than this. It's very, very heavy.
Yeah, it's a
I'm
doozy.
scared. I'm
I was about
scared.
to say, yeah, and I remember you saying like the we like over the course of last season we sort of found our like what we were comfortable with in terms of weight. And I remember you saying that like your range was somewhere in like the middle to upper three range. Like brass didn't scare you necessarily. Go, I don't think scares you, right? But I remember you being like the heavier it gets, you started to get a little nervous about just how big and
Yeah.
heavy it was. And then you and I both learned that Nucleum game, which I think is in the upper threes or maybe lower fours, and it took like an hour to teach. And you were like, I'm not playing this,
Yeah, I'm
right? And
out.
and John Company takes like an hour to teach, so but yeah,
Yeah, the
it's a
teach
doozy.
game. We just had a teach game on our server, and the game took 6 hours. And that's not unusual. Usually they don't go quite that long, but once I hit hour three of a game, I start dying.
Yeah,
So this is going to be an experience.
I'm excited for it too. I've played it a couple times and I didn't dislike it, but I was just like, it's just a lot to handle, both
Yeah.
emotionally because of what you're doing in the game. Although, like you said, it does do it in a respectful, seemingly respectful way. I don't know that much about that history compared to historians, right? But it does it in a really nice way, it seems like, and doesn't, like you said, doesn't hold anything back. It really tells it an honest story, it seems. And also, it's really heavy, like mechanically. So
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. We're gonna have to get someone who knows how to deal with the elephant, and then we'll be all right. But
Which
yeah,
is good.
that's my first pick because it's a
Heck yeah.
game that I think is important for board gamers to play.
Yeah,
Probably.
I think so. And that brings me to my second nominee. Apiary, my first one, Decoys, John Company, second edition. My next one is, and I sort of wanted to mention this earlier when I mentioned Quacks. What I wanted to do with my nominees, basically, which is why I haven't been able to whittle it down into five, is I wanted to have like a good reason outside of I like this game to pick it. Because, if I was picking 10, then I could just pick ones I like. And then, I could also pick sort of Professor Glasses type games that I wanted to like learn from is what and like do both. And so I was like, okay, well, if I can't do both outright, I got to have a good reason to have one involved, right? And what I think is going to happen, I'm calling a shot here, is that in season four, yes, this is not the season four preview episode, but in season four, I think we're going to play Arcs. And I think I'm going to want to talk about
Yeah,
it.
probably.
Because, and I mentioned this, or somebody mentioned it, I feel like I agreed or mentioned that for us to talk about it, Arcs needs more time in the oven and also needs more time on the shelf cooling before we sit down and play it. And I don't think I'm ready to talk about it just yet, just for a couple reasons. And therefore, for season three, I was like, okay, well, what other trick-taking games do I even know? Because if I'm going to do arcs in season four, maybe I could preemptively do a trick-taking game this season so that when we get to arcs, we'll have one to sort of compare it directly against. And that game is called Cat in the Box, which I don't know if you have heard of or have ever played before.
Only
But
from you.
the main mechanic of it is that it's trick-taking, but what the cards' suits are is variable each game and each hand. And it's really cool. The cards you're allowed to play are based on what other people have played before. It's very easy to teach and learn. It's a very nice variable player count. Its the theme is really hilarious. It's like if you've ever heard of Exploding Kittens, that theme is it's very similar. It's like cats kind of in like a weird sciencey environment is the sort of art of the game. It's really interesting. And it's to be honest, I think the coolest trick-taking game I've ever played, besides Arcs. So I was like, okay, well, that would be really cool to sort of
Oh,
explore a little
that's
bit
interesting.
beforehand because I don't know that many trick-taking games, nor do I know that that many have even been created outside of like, you know, poker, which we've already talked about, or like, you know, bridge, things like that. So I was like, okay, I think this is one that's worth our time before we get to the bigger one kind of deal. I don't know if there's a mod, so I'm not exactly sure if it's actually possible, but I kind of hope there is. But yeah, and it's super easy. Like you could teach it to anybody, I feel like, you know, like parents could learn it, younger kids could learn it. So it's got a lot of good things going for it.
Yeah, there may be a Board Game Arena adaptation. It's in
Oh.
development, looks like.
Ooh, that's good news.
We might have to request access to the alpha test group. Maybe we just do this on somewhere else, but
Yeah.
there might, like, by the time we get to it, there might be options.
Right, yeah, hopefully. If not, it's one that you could learn solo and play with anybody. Like it's, you know, we can look into it and see. If it doesn't work out, we can always amend it. But it's one that I definitely want to talk about with if we get the opportunity to.
We'll find a way. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
My second pick,
Ooh, baby.
to the surprise of no one, Nemesis Lockdown.
Oh,
We have to
shit.
do Nemesis Lockdown.
All right.
So we decided we were going to split Nemesis because Nemesis is kind of too big an experience. And I still don't know if this. Maybe we could do the same thing as the Haven games, where we can just lump all the Nemesis games together, because this game is very, very similar to the original Nemesis, which we already covered, and then did a bonus episode, kind of, sort of, because I like it so much. Nemesis Lockdown, Waking Realms, same deal. Sequel to my favorite game of the past few years, Regular Nemesis. This is set on Mars instead of on a spaceship. You play as either survivors of the original Nemesis or employees of the Mars facility that have captured them. And it hits all the same notes as the original Nemesis, just the setting is different. So, semi-co-op survival horror,
Right.
with a few added mechanics to make the game run a little bit better. You can argue whether those are good or bad. I know I could get into a days-long disagreement with people about that. I like this game more than the original, and I'm in the minority there. So I kind
Oh
of want that.
shit, that's huge, dude. Wow.
How much
That's
have you
sweet.
played this? Have you played this game?
Zero, I think. I think I if
Okay.
I know if I'm remembering exactly the map correctly, I think I was in when you guys played or started to play one time because I knew I was going to be falling asleep like within an hour. And we had just played something and I was like, okay, I'll stick around and like watch and see it or whatever. And then I left early and went to bed. So I might like when we go to play it, I might recognize the map and like know a little bit about it, but I've never actually sat down to play it.
It's technically standalone, so you don't really need to have played a lot of regular Nemesis to play it. It uses all the
Right.
same systems and just adds a couple more things. I say that like it's the easiest thing in the world. Those two systems that it adds are kind of complicated, but we'll get there. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
And I think it makes the game better.
All
All
right.
right, what you
Well,
got? Game three.
yeah, two for Decoy, John Company, second edition Nemesis Lockdown, two for me, Apiary and Cat in the Box. This is I'm excited already, I have to admit, and I have no idea what else you're gonna be throwing in there. So this is gonna be good. So my third game that I want to nominate for us, and I have a very specific reason why I want to do this, which is what I mentioned for all of these, is called Vijayanagara. And
What? Say that
this
again?
is Vijayanagara, which sounds like vagina, which is hilarious. Every time people ping to play it, I'm like, you mean the vagina game, which they never mean. Yep.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, the vagina guy. I don't know if that's I'm saying it right, but that's how I would naturally look at it and say it. I'm probably not saying it correctly. So this game, for what I understand, I've never played it. I'm excited to learn it, and I want to learn it for two reasons. It's a genre I've never played, which is I think this is a coin game as far as I know, which is counterinsurgency. And also, I'm hoping that this could be a game that we could potentially compare against Root, because we don't have any other war games that are in the same breath of
No.
conversation except for
Yeah.
Risk, which I don't think is a war game,
No,
really.
not like that. Not
And
really.
since we don't have any other ones, I'm like, man, like if we're ever going to take down Root, maybe we need to get some other similarly genred games in there with it. Not that I'm saying that I'll like this game better than Root, obviously, but it would be nice, I think, to have some comparison points for myself, because I don't really know what the coin slash war genre has to offer, because I literally have played Root and that's it. And this is the one that I was interested in trying first, but I've never gotten around to it. Like my ability to play it is just not lined up with people who want to. So this will give me a reason to actually learn it finally, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, we got people who play this too. I've seen this
Yeah.
around. I'm like, do I really want to? I looked it up a few times. I'm like, do I really want to play this right now? Not
Right, yeah.
really. I'm like on Root Break, and I don't want to play another coin game,
See, there you go.
music game,
Yep.
whatever that is.
Yeah.
But apparently, it's good, so I'll give it a shot. Sure.
Sweet. Heck yeah, baby. Yeah, I'm excited to explore the genre more, and this one is the one that seemed the most appealing potentially, and also the least, because I mean, I think the war slash coin genre can get up there in weight, like John Company, like we were saying. And I think that this one is a little bit of a lighter, like version of the
Yeah, it's
genre,
not that
maybe.
bad.
It's not that bad. It doesn't seem like so. Yeah, I was excited to finally be able to give this one a shot. So, yeah.
My third pick, and
Oh,
this
shit.
is one that's I wasn't originally going to have this on here, but I wanted to give a shout out to Sandbox for helping us so much with the past few episodes.
Heck yeah.
And
I'm here for
he
that.
not demanded, but asked very kindly that we consider this game, and we had it on our potential community games list as well. And I
Right.
decided to throw it into my five.
Ooh, I know what it
Azul.
is. Yeah,
Yeah,
Azul.
Azul.
Heck yeah.
So this is by Michael Kiesling. It's based on like this the game itself is based on an old game I think traders used to play in Portugal. But it is a modern game. This was released a handful of years ago. This is just an abstract tile drafting, tile placement game. And all you do is pick up tiles and you make patterns and you get points based on those. This is right in my wheelhouse of simple to learn, very, very difficult to play and play well. That
Ooh,
is my favorite type of game.
I was about to say, that's right up
So,
your alley, dude. Yeah.
yeah. Lightweight, potentially interesting player interaction. I haven't played it. I don't know anything about it
Ooh,
other
me
than
neither.
those
Beautiful.
things.
Heck yeah.
So we're gonna learn this together. We can play against Sandbox or any of the other has
Heck
tons
yeah.
of adaptations. You can play all over. Interesting enough for me to put it in my top five games that I want to play. So we're gonna give it Azul a shot.
Heck yeah, dude. Heck yeah, dude. Let's go. That's very exciting. I've seen it at a lot of board game cafes and board game shops, but never actually played it. So again, I'm very excited
Yeah,
to learn
it is
all these
very,
that I
very
haven't had a
popular.
chance. Yeah.
So I feel like it's I don't know necessarily if it has top 10 potential, but
Right.
it's a good game. It might be top 15.
I mean, right, like it's Takedo's 16th, I want to say right now, right? So I mean,
Yeah,
yeah,
I think it's
if
going to be
it's got
better than
that
Hokkaido.
potential, oh, that's huge. That's huge. Okay, so we got three each. That puts us at notably at nine already of our 13. We're when we have four left, which is kind of crazy. Okay, my fourth game that I wanted to bring up and potentially nominate here is called Discworld Ankh-Morpork. And I don't know if you know what this game is at all, or if you've ever heard of
Say,
it.
oh, say that again.
Discworld, colon, Ankh-Morpork. This
No, I don't think
game,
I've ever heard of this.
beautiful. I had a feeling I had a couple on here that you didn't know about. So this one I'm interested in for two reasons. Although there's also more. The theme, it looks really cool in terms of like the art and stuff, kind of like how Cosmic Frog intrigued me a little bit. And also it's a Martin Wallace game. Which, if our astutest of listeners will remember, one of Martin Wallace's game is currently number two on our list. That's Brass Birmingham. So I was like, oh shit! Like I kind of want to similar to, I mean, right now if I'm looking, Root is number one. That's a Cole Worley game, and I am interested in Cole Worley's other games. We're gonna play Arcs. I played Oath a lot and liked it in the past. I love Fort. It's already on the list, right? We got John Company now nominated, so we've got a lot of Cole Worley's work in our list so far, right? And I was like, well, I kind of want to play the number two ranked guy's other games too, because I don't think I've ever played any other game by him before. So I was like, okay, well, that's a good enough reason, A. And I was looking through other games he's, like made or whatever. And also, very weirdly and randomly and interestingly, my brother has heard of and played this game before. And he doesn't really play games much and has never really taken off as a board gamer in any way, shape, or form, but he randomly has like knowledge of two games that are like kind of that we would cover the outside of like, Parcheesi and Dominoes and things like that, like
Yeah,
two sort
pretty
of
interesting.
games that could potentially rank highly. So I was like, hold up, why would he randomly have learned and played this before? That intrigued me as well because he's not a board gamer. So I was like, okay, well, this would be my pick that's like my nostalgia pick if I had one, because I've got some personal connection to it. And like I mentioned, it's made by Martin Wallace, who currently has a number two ranked game on our list. So, and it's also wild, and I knew you didn't know about it. So I was like, that's a winner. Yes, that's it. Disc Ankh Morpork. Discworld, excuse me. Discworld Ankh Morpork.
Yeah, Discworld, I knew what that is. That's a Terry Pratchett book.
Yes, yeah, it's based on that book. Yep.
I've never read it before. I have like a love-hate relationship with Terry Pratchett. I understand that people are into Terry Pratchett or really into his writing. I couldn't
Right.
get into it. There's something wrong with it, and I can't put my finger on it. But this is going to be really interesting if the humor carries over into this board game, which I hope it does.
I don't know about Terry Pratchett really that well at all, or the game, so me too, but I have no idea.
Yeah, you should give his books a look. It's very specific, and he is the very, very best at writing exactly the style that he writes, if that makes sense.
That does make sense, I think. Yeah.
It's like it's very biting, sarcastic British humor.
I mean, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, it's. I've realized after reading a few of his books that it's not exactly for me, but I also recognize that they're very, very good.
Oh,
So yeah,
yeah, I got you. Yeah, because
this is gonna be fun. This will
humor
be
is a very
interesting.
personal thing anyway. Yeah, so, some people are really funny and some people aren't. And you ask somebody else and they'll say the opposite, So, yeah. But yeah, I'm excited about this one. It should be fun.
More exposure for me for Terry Pratchett.
Hey, baby.
Maybe it'll turn me around. Okay, next. I don't know what order I want to say these two in.
Yes.
I've been trying to figure out which one you're more likely to have picked, and I don't know.
We'll
Because
see if I don't have to feel any pain.
this one's kind of random. And then this one, I don't think you would think I'm picking this one, so I'm gonna hold this for last.
Okay.
So the
All right.
game for my fourth pick is gonna be Sea Salt and Paper. Sea
Oh,
Salt
I
and
had this
Paper.
one on my short list. Hell yeah, I did not have it picked though. It didn't make my cut, but I had it on my short list.
All
That's
right.
cool.
So this is by, and I'm gonna butcher these names, Bruno Cathala and Théo Rivière.
Okay.
Dead simple card drafting hand management game. Little push your luck going on. And all that is well and good. The primary reason that I picked this game is because it looks so good. The card art and the way they did colors and the choice for how they chose to do the artwork is great and unique and interesting. On the level of, I don't want to say Cosmic Frogs, it's not quite that deep, but it's
Right.
interesting and sort of the same kind of way. I'm also really interested to see if I have trouble with the colors in this game, because they specifically designed the cards for readability.
Oh, okay.
And
Yeah.
just by a glance, for those people who don't know me, I'm not colorblind, but I'm something else blind, I'm pretty sure. Like I have
Right, yeah.
different dif difficulty distinguishing colors. So especially in board games, when board games use very similar color palettes, I have a ton of trouble. That's part of the reason why I complain so much about cards and maps and tiles and board games being unreadable and being too busy. Because I think I have trouble just distinguishing color. And this game does its best to try to help people that have color issues. Not necessarily me, but I'm adjacent to that.
Right. That's pretty cool, though. That's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on the plus
Heck yeah.
side, it's tiny. It's like a tiny box. This might be the smallest game that we're going to cover. If you think about a playing card deck, the box is that size.
Oh,
This is the
wow.
game. This
That
is the
is
game
cool.
that if it's good, I would pick this up just as a travel game.
Because yeah, you travel with it, play it. That's very
Yeah, you can
enticing,
stick it in your
actually.
back pocket. It's that small, and it works apparently. Also has like a working, fully working VGA adaptation.
Oh
And
yeah, that's
also,
right.
yeah, a few people who are on our server have played it right when it first came out and had good things to say about it. So we can probably get a game going with those
Yeah, that's a
people.
win-win. Nice. It's a win-win.
And the last important piece of this is Bruno, one of the developers I mentioned earlier, did Shadows over Camelot as his first credited game on BGG, which
Oh,
is
wow.
one of the first big, heavy board games that I played.
That's
Played it a
huge.
ton, played it, like, enjoyed the hell out of it. And that
Right.
was my intro to board games. So bonus points. I'm
That's
willing to try
huge
your
bonus
stuff.
points. Heck yeah, dude. Man, this dude, we've got a fucking tight list right now in terms of like why we picked what we picked. I think Decoy wins brownie points, ladies and gentlemen, for today, because his suggestion was that we only cover 12 or what 10 or whatever it was. And then I convinced him to do the three bonus listener requested ones. And the fact that we've been forced to whittle it down in this way has meant that we're pretty much spitting fire the whole time, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, that is what I wanted. Like, I'm not saying we let in stuff that shouldn't have been let in, because it's fine to discuss those, but I kind of wanted us to pick very good games, because the top of our top 10, or I guess the bottom of our top 10, a little bit lacking in my opinion. We could play better games
Ah,
in here.
touche. And that's interesting. I had an idea that I wanted to mention to you off air potentially, but we could mention it. Yeah, I'll wait till it's after. So remind me. Because if it ends up being off air, so that we don't reveal that yet, or if we change our minds, whatever. But that relates to exactly what you were just saying. But yeah, it's that's awesome. So Sea Salt and Paper, Azul, Nemesis Lockdown, John Company Second Edition for Decoy, Discworld, Ekmore Pork, Vijayanagara, Cat in the Box, and Apiary for myself. And that brings me to my final official nominee, although I do have an extra one that I can't decide how what I want to do with. So this last one, which I'm curious, maybe as our outro, I can ask Decoy this question, because I'm curious how many of my five he anticipated. This last one is called Turncoats. Do you know this
All right,
one?
continue. Yeah, of course.
Oh, beautiful. I have never heard of it before, never played it,
Oh, cool.
and randomly joined a BGA game of five players with it. And the tutorial was super easy, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I was like, this is like you were saying with Sea Salt and Paper, seemingly dead simple. And I think the player count goes from pretty smoothly up to, I mean, I've only played it the one time. I'm in an async game, so I've only taken like four turns. But as I mentioned, my sort of like decision making on what I wanted to land on here was I wanted one where it was kind of like a wild card for me, where it seemed interesting and kind of cool. And I was like, this could be potentially hit or miss for me. Like, I could potentially really dig it, or I could be like, okay, that was cool, and then never play it again. And I have no clue where I'm going to go with it. And I was like, that's pretty interesting because the other games on here that I have as the ones I cut, I kind of have a pretty good idea about going into it. And I was like, ah, that feels kind of unfair maybe to those. So like, for example, I cut Dune, I cut Barrage, I cut Beer and Bread, and I was that's kind of why those didn't make the cut, because I kind of already feel like I know something about them preemptively. So I wanted to be like showing up to something fair on my end in case you picked a bunch of stuff that I anticipated you picking. So this was like my wild card game. And yeah, I mean, I'm excited to play it more and see what it's all about.
Where
Turncoats. It's a
did
cool name too.
you hear this game from?
I was on one of the threads that we have, and somebody was like, "Hey, I have one more spot open for Turncoats," and on BGA or whatever. And I had
Oh,
currently
yeah.
just finished a game with somebody, and I was like, "What the heck is that?" And I think Solomon or somebody was like, "Oh, it's sweet. You should just join." And I was like, "I mean, I'll try it. Sure. What the hell?" And because I was already logged into the site, so I was like, "Okay." And I like hopped on, and then while it was like loading or whatever, I went to the tutorial page and played it and was like, oh, and then took my first turn, and then that was it. And I didn't really have a chance to, look into it more. And then I've subsequently played like two or three more turns of it over the last, I mean, I just learned about it like this week or, last week, something like that. So
Yeah, it's real. If you're wondering why they were playing that game, this game is made by Milda Matilda, right? She's a friend of the forest on Woodland Warriors. That's
No
her game.
shit.
Yeah, so she's part of the greater community that we're a part of.
Dude,
And
that's huge.
yeah, that's probably why they were playing it, because the game is actually very, very good from what I've heard. I've heard
Yeah.
people in several different places compliment the game, so Hell
Yeah,
yeah, I'm
it
totally
seems
there.
simple as shit. It seems really easy. From what I can tell, it's a bag with stones and a cloth play mat. So, like you just said, for sea salt and paper, you could literally tuck this in your duffel bag, in your bag, and play it. And it's a 2 to 5 kind of abstract, seemingly like, war-like sort of game. And I was like, dude, they both do that in a tight little, like, it's like a little drawstring, like knapsack looking bag. I was like, that's fucking crazy. So yeah, I'm
Yeah.
excited to see if that's as potentially good as I think it might be, because I have a sneaking suspicion that if it's as good as I think it might be, we could maybe say something like, this is a game that everyone should just buy and just have on them
Yeah.
at all times. Because like, why would you not just keep a little, it's like a tissue, like keep a tissue in your book bag. And then you can play a fucking sick game anywhere because it's light as a feather in a tissue shape, or size. So I was excited to see if that was the true or not.
Yeah, I'm excited for it too. I've been meaning to play that game. Again,
Heck yeah,
another
dude.
one. I'm like, this is on the greater, not the this board game list, but this
Right.
stuff I wanted to play at some point when it came out.
Heck yeah, dude.
Put on that list. So hell yeah, I can put if I was actually thinking straight, I might have put this on my list because I forgot about it.
Oh, dude, that's beautiful. Heck yeah. In that case, I got at least one that you like, because I always like to do that too, right? Like one that I think you would like to play that I recommend. So I'm not just picking random shit.
Yeah.
So that's good.
So cool. I'm here for that. Excellent.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
All right.
Now,
So
will you
this
pick the
one,
one that is my sixth?
there's no way. Like, this is impossible.
Okay.
So this is a game that a few server friends threw out that I should play, with the qualifier that it's a Euro game, but it's a Euro game that I might actually like.
Oh.
And I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot, especially since you like a Euro game for non-Euro game people. That seems pretty cool. Feast for Odin. Feast for
Oh
Odin.
shit. It's one that I had as a one I think you would pick. Let's go.
No shit. Why did you think I
Yep.
would pick this?
Because you and JC were randomly talking about it one time when I joined after the fact and we were going to play something and you guys were talking about it. And I don't know if you even knew I was there because I had like just hopped on. And I was like, oh, interesting. Like JC's talking about Feast for Odin and I've heard about it. And I heard something that he said. And then you were like, that sounds interesting. I might give that a try. And I was like, ooh, I wonder if he'll pick that one. But then like we never talked about it and then like we moved on and something else happened. But it was randomly
Foiled.
in the back of my mind because I was like, I wonder if that's one that's gonna be potentially pickable. And I looked into it because I thought that it looked pretty cool. So I think I might like
Yeah.
it too. Heck
Yeah, so this is a Uwe Rosenberg game. It's basically Vikings. Vikings the board game. You're a
yeah,
board
dude.
game. You play as Vikings, and it's like meat light-ish interaction, maybe medium light, we'll find out. Worker placement Euro. Just do stuff, get points. Worker placement. Put stuff on
Sounds
the
like,
board.
yeah.
Yeah. Euro stuff. That stuff is all the Viking things. Feasting, feast for Odin.
Hell
Hunting,
yeah.
fishing, building ships, pillaging, I guess.
Yep.
Building things. Yeah. There's
Sounds good, man.
also, yeah, the eye-catching thing about this game is that there's this neat looking tiling system going on that seems like it's a more built-out version of Cosmic Frog and the Gullet.
What?
So like imagine the Gullet, except it's a giant board that's like a 12 by 12 instead of however big the Cosmic Frog board is.
Yeah.
And that's how you get your points. Like you go get an axe and you have to place the axe on this giant, I don't even know what to call it, tableau, is that the right word?
I guess, yeah,
And
like a placement thing.
you place things, you cover up tiles, and then at the end of the game you get points based on that. I think that's how it works. We're gonna figure it
Okay. Heck yeah,
out.
dude.
Yeah, so if we're talking about games that are related to games that we've already talked about, mechanically, this is kind of a little bit similar to Cosmic Frog, although much like in a different direction. It's
Yeah.
not cosmic cool, but the mechanics and function are the same-ish and bigger and different. So that is a
Right. And
comparison point.
the Viking theme, we've got the Hnefatafl
Oh
Viking
yeah, we
theme
have a
from ages
Hnefatafl theme
ago.
too.
So like that'd be a
Sure.
cool just thematic thing to discuss. We could be like, oh, like this is our second, or is there another one? I don't even know off top, but that's cool. Yeah, like I love the idea of like having like games now that we have a list of 47, having games on here that we can be like, okay, well, this is another thematically relevant to a game we've liked before or talked about before game. And then we already have a starting point when we go to play it and talk about it. We can immediately start comparing it to, at the very least, the theme of the other one that we know, right? So that's very exciting in and of itself. And then the other stuff you said, I'm already into it. So heck yeah.
Yeah, it's also has a shot. Top 10 shot is very, very highly rated on BGG. People like this game a lot.
Oh, shit.
So,
That's
it's a
huge.
Euro that I'll actually play. So,
I mean,
has to be in my five recommendations for this season.
heck yeah. So what I want to do right now, I think, before I reveal my sixth game, is reveal two of the four games that I had on here that you, because I anticipated that you would pick John Company, and I was right. I anticipated that you would pick Feast for Odin, and I was right. The other three I did not anticipate. So I have two other games. I actually anticipated Gloomhaven, and I was wrong, which is a shame. And then Skull, I was wrong. I have two others that you haven't mentioned. So what I was thinking was I reveal what those are and ask you maybe what you were, why you left them off, because I'm curious, and then I'll reveal my sixth. Or do you want to do something similar with mine and reveal ones that you anticipated I would pick that I did not, or something like that?
Sure. I didn't have that many that I anticipated that you would pick.
Okay.
Like for if I were to guess, I think I would have missed on pretty much everything. There's
Oh
one
shit.
that might be your sixth game, but
So maybe don't reveal it
it's
yet then.
still
Yeah,
good
don't
for
reveal
it.
that
Yeah.
one yet then. Okay. So let me
Yes, go
reveal
ahead.
my two just real quick. So I had a sneaking suspicion that you were going to try and be cheeky and put the Root RPG on your list of five.
No, I'm not gonna put the Root RPG.
No? Okay.
Keep
Because
going.
I
Keep
don't,
going.
I've never played it, right? And I don't know any RPG, I've never played an RPG of any kind, and I know you love like story-based gameplay stuff. And I was like, I mean, they have a campaign. I don't know how much of it they've played. He's been playing Gloomhaven, but I don't know how much of that he's been playing. And I was like, well, we have, one currently, or a second, if you want to call Jaws of the Lion, if we didn't pick Gloomhaven. We have an X-Haven and we have Nemesis as like sort of main story-based stuff. And then we have Betrayal. So this, we're sort of getting a good like number of those kind of things on our list. And I was like, this one kind of is outside the box. And I anticipate, I was like, all right, he's going to try and do some sneaky stuff like he did with poker and be like, what do we consider a board game? Do we even think poker is a board game? And try and bring in like a, an alt board game thing to like put it up against some board games to see what happens. It sounds like you weren't thinking that at all, though, based on your reaction.
No, I wasn't.
So
And
that's
there's
pretty
actually a
funny.
lot of reasons for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you wanna say any more words about that before I
Yeah,
talk
that's
about it?
that. I mean, that's all I really know about it. So I wasn't, I don't know if you even want to mention it or if you just want to jump on and how fast you want to go. But that's like, that was kind of my reasoning behind my that
Yeah,
pick. And then my fourth one I'll share. Yeah. So yeah, why, I guess, why didn't you? Or, do you even care? Like, do you even want to share why didn't you? Or, yeah.
so that's like this didn't even enter my
Didn't even cross your
consciousness,
mind.
honestly. No, cross my mind
That's funny.
because it's such a different
Different thing.
thing.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly. That's, yep.
I get it. Poker is also just like a very different thing, but you
Right.
kind of see the outline of poker. It has cards, right? It
Right.
has tokens, chips, and it
Right.
has things like first player markers and dealer buttons and et cetera.
So it's got relatable that like mechanics in it.
There's things
Yeah.
that are adjacent to things that are that you would find in board games. RPGs are like kind of further away from that. I don't know. And again, yeah, like I can push the boundaries here if I really want to,
Right.
but I don't necessarily think that's appropriate.
Okay.
If
All
it
right.
was
That's
a
good to
game,
know. That's good to
yeah,
know.
if it was a game that I was actually like super passionate about, like I am about poker, I might have
Right.
tried it.
Okay.
But this is something you might not know. I don't think we do have a Root RPG campaign. We played it a lot, and
Right.
we have not gotten a session in a while, just because the fate of all RPGs, you cannot get everybody together at the same time because life gets in the way,
Yep.
and we've had a huge problem with that.
I was worried about that. Yeah.
So we've had the original group of six people, and we're just going to say whoever can show up shows up. We have a minimum number that we'll go with, and then it just hasn't happened. Two people are on just like bad schedules or
Right.
conflicting schedules with other people, so we can't get a session together. It's that on top of none of us really being enamored with the Root RPG system itself.
Ah, interesting.
It's
Okay.
fine. Like, if you're into Root RPG is good.
Oh, sure.
I don't think it's bad. We just don't love it. Like, we played it
Okay.
enough that if we were going to fall in love with it, we would have already.
Oh,
Kevin,
yeah. I
or
see. I
none of
see.
us. And this could be for many reasons, right? Like, a lot of us just don't have RPG experience. Like, I haven't played more than two other campaigns of something before that in an RPG setting. So other people have similar experience. Some people have a lot of experience. JC, our DM, is also learning the system a lot along with us because he's never mm-hmm. played it before or DM'd it mm-hmm. before. So maybe it's us. Like, maybe we're not doing something right. And that's
touché.
A tough thing.
Yeah, touche.
But I think we've reached the point with that where we're going to, like, start doing other systems. Because there are other systems that we're interested in that have different thematics and such.
Right. We'll
give those a try. With different group. Because our group can't find a time that works for everybody.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at with that. Which is why I didn't even consider it, because it's not on my mind anymore.
Yeah, yeah. That's a shame. Well, I guess that's a good thing that we... I mean, I'm glad I brought it up then, just so now that I know, because I had no clue, right? Because, you know, it's hard enough keeping track of, you know, like, if you're trying to play, like, an Oath campaign or an Arcs campaign or whatever, or, like, games you're interested in learning, to, like, keep track of a RPG system of another person that haven't kept up with. So I was like, I have no idea if they've been playing it a shit ton or not, but I remember you starting it and, like, creating your characters and stuff. So I was like, I wanted to check in on it and kind of see where you're at with it. So that's a shame, but good to know.
Yeah, and I don't want to say, because the system itself is good. If you've ever played Powered by the Apocalypse games, it's based on that, and it's solid. It fits. And right. I think for the right people, it might be perfect. It just wasn't exactly right for us. So,
touché. So my next one that I guessed for you, this part's a bit awkward. So I told you I had six nominees, and I also had like a couple of yours that I assumed that you would pick. And I guess technically I have seven, but I was like banking on you picking this one. So I didn't really have it in my short list because I was like, he'll pick that one. So then I only had six. So technically I actually have seven then, because it sounds like, unless you cut it and didn't tell me, it sounds like it wasn't on your short list because you didn't pick it. So that game is the Witcher board game.
Yeah, I mentioned it.
See? And I was, yeah.
Yeah. Continue. Go ahead.
I love The Witcher, like, stuff. I've played the games. I've read some of the books. I loved the series. You mentioned that there was a game. It's deck building based. You've played it. You said it was amazing. I was like, dude, the thematic, like, world stuff. We talked about it a little bit in the Jaws of the Lion stuff. I was like, I mean, what more could Decoy ask for in a game? I bet you he's picking that one. So was that your number six, and you were banking on me? You know what I mean? Was this like the classic, like, I think he knows what I know, so I'm gonna, you know what I mean?
No,
the levels of thinking thing, or
I wasn't thinking that hard. It just didn't make the cut because I played it exactly once.
Okay.
I don't want to oversell it, but it seems like a game that is doing this really popular thing, it seems like, nowadays, similar to Wonderland's War, where it's just throwing in all of the mechanics. Like, it just has one of everything.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I don't know. Again, I haven't played it once.
Right.
I don't know if it's good at anything. It's got interesting bits, and it's a fun playthrough, and it's worth playing once, I think, having myself played it once.
Mm-hmm.
I have no clue how good it is. I don't know if it's just like a one-off board game. Like, hey, you want to play a licensed something or other that has reasonable art and it's kind
of
fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Sort of like Disney Villainous, right? Like, it's just a licensing game, but then you maybe don't play it a bunch. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I feel like it's that game, maybe.
Okay.
And I didn't know whether it was worth spending one of my precious five spots on a game that I'm not even sure is good.
Right.
Like, it was all right. I lost to Todd. He kicked my ass.
For sure. Yeah.
Because Todd's just really good at board games.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was on the list, and that was on the short list. That was probably in the...
like, it would have been one of your 10 if you picked 10. Yeah,
yeah,
about to
say.
Yeah,
if I picked 10.
Okay.
Yeah, that was on there. But I'm like, there's just not enough space, so...
Touché. Okay, so that's... So, I mean, I had... So you didn't pick Skull. It sounds like it would have been in your top 10. You didn't pick The Witcher. It sounds like it would have been in your top 10 if we did 10. And you didn't pick Gloomhaven, which I would assume would have been, but maybe not. And then Root RPG. Those were the four that I had, like... I was like, I was guessing those that you didn't land on. So that brings me to my sixth. And like I mentioned, Witcher would have been seven officially, technically, right? So this one is called Oath, which I think you anticipated me picking.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this one, I saved it for sixth because I was anticipating not picking it. So I had five, and then I was like, I want to leave Oath in the conversation because I didn't know exactly yet kind of thing. And I wanted us to talk, and I wanted to hear what you picked first kind of deal. So Oath, we've talked about a little bit before. It's a Coworldly game, and you picked John Company 2nd Edition first. And I was like, boom, not picking Oath. I scratched it immediately because I was like, I don't want two Coworldly games in the same season, maybe, A. And B, we've already covered like four of his or whatever. So I was like, okay, that one can wait. And interestingly, not just that, but it suffers from the same thing that you just mentioned from the Root RPG. Getting everybody together to play a endless campaign game is not easy.
No, kind of a huge problem.
Outside of COVID. If it's COVID again, hey, let's rewind to COVID, everybody. No, fuck that, right? But like, if it's COVID and everyone's just got immaculate amounts of free time and no one can go outside, getting an Oath campaign, you could do it like, you know, you could do seven games in a week kind of deal, right? Because like everyone's got a shit ton of free time and can't go outside. But that's not the world we live in anymore. And it's tough. Like I joined the Oath campaign that our server like picked up again and started, played one game, but I couldn't make the other two sessions that they've played. I think they maybe played like four or five games, and I think the thread's dead again. And it's like the fourth iteration of us in our server trying to get an Oath campaign going, and then it's stopping. Yep. I have hilariously played like a 12-game campaign with my IRL copy, but the last one we played was probably over a year or two ago. I still love it, and I still really enjoy playing it, and I think I'm gonna be like, it's gonna be one where I'm like always excited to pull out and continue to think about and play. And it does something really cool. And we've mentioned this before, you and I on the show, but just in case, you know, we have new listeners or what have you, I'm really interested in like latching onto a designer or creator that I really like and sort of mapping their, the trajectory of their career. I do this with authors and novels. I do this with directors of films. I do this with board game designers. And I obviously love Root. So I've been very interested in exploring Coworldly's other sort of like games that have sort of helped him build to who he is now, which is why I'm excited to play John Company. And I want to play other things he's made to just sort of like, you know, consume his career in a sense, like as a fan, if you will. So like in that respect, I'm always going to love Oath. And like I mentioned, I think a season 4 ARCS nominee is probably going to happen, which is another Coworldly game. And it's got the campaign thing. We're not talking about ARCS right now, but that one was my 6th. And then I was thinking maybe I would also want The Witcher on there because I love The Witcher theme and stuff like I mentioned. But I don't think I need your help in whittling it down. I think I've already, based on our conversation, knocked that one off personally myself, unless you are like hella interested in like picking it or whatever. But then I'd have Absolutely. To cut something of the other five, and I kind of don't want to now, actually.
No. Playing devil's advocate.
Okay.
If you're going to cut Oath right now, we're like never going to cover Oath. And it's just going to be years until you potentially get to it. Because if you're going to do ARCS in the next season...
Right.
Like, are you going to do ARCS and Oath at the same time?
In the same round? Season? Probably not, yeah. Which means maybe we...
Makes sense.
Yeesh. So here's what we could do then if we do cover ARCS next round, like season 4 or whatever. Maybe we... Like, what are the odds that Cole and Leader Games makes another standalone campaign game within...
No, it's not... Like,
so we could potentially backtrack back to Oath and be like, now that we've covered ARCS, sure. The new one, let's look at the old one and see, you know what I mean? Like, I could see us doing that maybe, but, you know, who knows? That's multiple years from now. But I see your point, though. Like, yeah, there is a chance that we'd never cover it. But, I mean...
I'm okay with that, though.
I think I'm okay with it based... Right now, I'm okay with it. Ask me next year if I'm okay with it, and I'll probably have a different answer. But for our conversation and the games we've laid out here, the 13, which our listeners will remember, Ticket to Ride, The Resistance, Avalon, Quacks... John Company, 2nd Edition, Nemesis, Lockdown specifically, Azul, Sea Salt and Paper, A Feast for Odin, Apiary, Cat in the Box, Vijaya Nagara, Discworld, Ankh-Morpork, Pork, and Turncoats. I love those 13.
So yeah, like, that's a good list already.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I want to toss in anything that's not those 13, honestly. So this is, talk about a success. Yeah.
That was just a devil's advocate. I don't actually want to talk about Oath because I don't actually want to play Oath.
Right.
And on the future. Not gonna happen. Maybe Oath episode. I can go into more detail, but I actually don't like Oath. Why. I don't like.
Oh, interesting. It at all. Okay. Well, maybe I'm glad I didn't pick it then, because I don't want to make you play something you don't like. So
yeah, that's fine though. Like I could even talk. Like I've played 5, 6 or games of Oath, so I can talk about it. And we can get reacquainted with it. Single session game, although that's not really how that game's meant to be played. But I could totally talk about it. and I could hate on that game forever.
Yeah, yeah.
I absolutely for a lot of reasons that are not necessarily the game's fault, but also the game's fault.
Yeah, right,
like,
yeah.
You already covered some of them. Like, how you have a game that just does not have a definitive end.
It's endless,
it kind of
yeah.
just ends. And it's right. like you either get to a point where you drop it or you feel like you haven't completed it. So at least with something like Gloomhaven, like you reach the end of your campaign. That's kind of it.
In all if you're patient games. Enough.
yeah. yeah, or you quit on it. But at right. least like at least there's a point in the future that you can shoot for if you want to. And right. Oath doesn't have that. And I think it's a major problem. But
yeah, it's again, hard to play a game that you know will never end.
Yeah, Cole's fault. Like he's trying something different and interesting. And for me, at least, it didn't quite work out. But
right.
there have been plenty of groups, Garrick out there, who has a ton of games on the same campaign on
right.
YouTube that you could watch right. if you really wanted to.
And it's cool to see, to be honest. Like, it's a neat thing that is, I mean, I love the, like, mechanics of it. I love the idea yeah, of, you know, kingmaking in a circle, like, the game kind of, like, I really yeah, appreciate yeah. the development of it, for the record, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't, like, I don't regret the time that I've spent playing Oath. I just wish that it had been a little better to keep people around to play it more. That's yeah. that's my thing with that game.
Yeah.
As a standalone game, you might as well just play Root. And as a campaign game, we just, for our group, can't seem to get people to be interested in it for long enough
right.
so that it really shines.
And that's tricky.
Yeah, and that's a tough thing. So
yeah. Touché.
All right. So games that I thought you were gonna throw out there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so excited to hear these.
for 100%, I thought you were picking Oath. So absolutely. Okay.
Yep.
I thought you're gonna pick Dune Uprising.
Oh shit. Touché.
Technically that's a different game.
It is.
It's like an expansion, but it is also a standalone game, right?
Yeah, so, it's standalone. I think did I play it outright with you guys, or I thought I just watched
yeah,
you guys play it?
I think
it?
So.
I think oh, I played it not. Once with you guys. I think I did play it because I remember learning it and I remember seeing it and stuff because I was excited when it came out. But, and I don't, again, this is maybe like what you were saying. I forget with the Witcher game where you played it one time and you're not sure if it's good or not and you don't really want to say much having only played it once kind of thing, which is why we do this season draft as a rule anyway. Well, in part. One, it's fun to look forward and to seeing what we're going to be playing. And two, it gives us an opportunity to know kind of what the games are going to be and learn them enough to feel good about talking about them. So for the record, I've only played Dune Uprising one time. But I played it and was like, I could just play Dune Imperium, though. Like, it doesn't seem different enough to warrant learning the new stuff. If I was going to learn a new thing with Dune, I would just play the original Dune from 1986, which was my reaction after playing it, which is why I didn't put it on my list. And well, honestly, just like you said with your RPG, it wasn't even in my, like, I didn't even have it in my top 10 games I was whittling down from. It's not even in my 25, to be honest, that I'm whittling down from. Like, I didn't even include it. I just included the OG Dune instead.
Yeah.
Which, maybe that's a bad thing. I don't know. Like I said, right? But, yeah.
It's probably, yeah, you're right. It's probably more appropriate if you're going to pick a Dune game to pick the OG Dune game, because that's just different than everything else.
Yeah, because it's so different, and Salo like did a little preemptive teach for us a little bit, because we were getting close to actually playing it potentially, which I do think we could get a game if we just limited, if we like minimize the requirement of six players. If we just played with four, we could get a game probably, because I think there's four people who are interested in playing it. So you know, maybe we cover that one eventually, or maybe I just play it for fun because I have it and want to learn it, but yeah, not that's one I yeah okay. Did you have anything other any others that you thought I would pick?
So I thought it was going to be that, and I thought, and you, I was correct about this, that you're just going to pick some random stuff that I'd never heard of before.
Ah,
and you absolutely did that.
Yep,
and that was like two of the spots. Like, you're just going to intentionally or not pick random stuff. I also just thought that you might, and like this was like a distant fourth option. Pick
okay.
something that's like very old but important history of board games.
Oh yeah, like we've been doing with Go and the others that
yeah.
are really, really, really old. Yeah.
Oh, not that old. More like
oh okay.
More like Catan old. Just
okay.
like
90s, 80s
at the very beginning. Yeah, 90s, early 2000s, something or other.
Okay. Well, yeah, it sounds like we I mean, what it honestly sounds like, this is the I don't know if I want to use this analogy or not. I think there's two analogies. It's like the two fencers fencing, and they're constantly swinging at each other, but we're always knowing exactly what you're going to do and dodging perfectly. It's either that metaphor or analogy of what we did this time, or it's the Princess Bride when he hands them the poison, and it's like the which one, you know, which one's the poison, which one's not debate that they that's like super famous in that movie, where it's like, you know, did I put it in front the bad one in front of you or in front of me? And you know, you could talk logic out for eternity which one, but it's ultimately a coin flip, you know. I feel like we both did that combo of those two things to each other. Like, I think he'll do this, maybe he'll do this, maybe he'll throw this kind of curveball. And we both did that and kind of ended up doing it, but not in the way we anticipated. It's funny.
It's probably closer to the fencing analogy because I didn't put like too much thought. Although maybe the poisoning scene, there wasn't too much thought placed in that either.
Well, yeah, because he
It's
just
all what
poisoned
you're
both because he was
planning.
immune to it, right?
Oh,
Spoiler, he had immunity, so
right.
he just poisoned them both. Yeah.
It has been so long since I've. Oh man, it's been so
Oh, did
long
I just ruin
since.
that for you? My bad, bro.
No,
Shit.
I've seen it before. It's just been,
Oh, okay. Years. Yeah.
decades, long
You.
time.
Yeah.
What else do I have on here? You ever heard of Letters from Whitechapel?
No, but I've heard of Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Close enough. Same thing. We just cut it right there. That's it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. Getting Gamey is produced by me, Mark Overstreet, aka Squid.
And by me, Ray, aka Decoy. Music by pixabay.com.